Welcome back to Pitchside, everybody. And just like the live stream at the weekend, I've been left. My colleagues have left me.
I'm back.
Sadly, Lewis is back. Molly's done a better... Me. If you guys didn't watch the podcast, I basically replaced Lewis with Molly and she did a much better job than you. I'm sorry.
That was me.
Reeve, unfortunately, is still in Iceland trying to battle against the volcanoes and the earthquakes.
Yeah, he chose a great time to go, like.
Tom is in Butland still.
Fine, I'm 6 years old.
Dressed as a carriage.
Yeah, he is fine. 6 years old, yeah. Why is he still in Butland? Why is he not back? It's a weekday. It's a Monday.
Yeah, it's some excuse. I don't know, man.
Well, look,
going on.
We're joined, as always, by Toby. You were here on the live stream. You witnessed the greatest game ever.
I did. It was great to be a part of.
Fucking mint-like. And Big John makes his debut. Yay!
Finally.
And when I say Big John, there's two Big Johns out there.
Yeah, I'm kind of like tall John, let's be honest, but it just doesn't sound as good.
Slightly thinner John.
Slightly thinner John. You know what? I'm going to change that as my like Instagram name from now on.
Well, look, lads, as two Chelsea fans sat next to me, I think it's only right that we kick things off with the game of the season.
Yes.
Toby, you watched it live.
Yeah, we did.
Thoughts?
Back-to-back game of the season, I think, for Chelsea. We topped Monday's one. That was chaos. That was a different reason for game of the season. I thought... We were good because City, it's like, it's hard to play against City anyway. They'd won every game with Rodri. That's the first time they've dropped points with him in the team. And Gallagher didn't let him breathe.
I thought Gallagher was quality. If Tom and Reeve were here right now, they'd be asking for an apology, which is quite embarrassing and pathetic.
Embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. It's very immature. But I thought that was Chelsea's best performance of the season, which is funny because they conceded 4. John.
Yeah, I'm aware. I don't feel like we deserve to concede 4. I felt like it was very unlucky.
You did.
No, definitely not.
You went in the net 4 times.
I don't think the penalty should have been one. A deflected goal for 4-3.
Oh, so we should just stop counting.
No. I'm aware how football works. Don't you worry.
Both teams had about 2.9 XG.
Anthony Taylor tax. Yeah. We won 4-3.
Exactly.
if it's any other ref than Taylor, if it's a fair ref, that game was 4-3.
That's crazy.
There was two fouls in the build-up.
Sorry, the only people... The only people saying that's not a penalty are Chelsea fans.
No, we're people with eyes. That was never a penalty. There was two fouls before the...
What, by your own players running into each other?
No, that's a foul. Doku gives a little...
Exactly.
Push.
Nah, boys.
And then... Haaland fouls Cucurella. And then...
What's football become, man?
Okay, you know
he stood on my toe. Then the wind blew the wrong way.
No, Haaland did not foul Cucurella.
No, I did.
No, it's a contact sport. You want people to jostle each other. The difference is Haaland then... ran beyond Cucurella and he pulled him down.
He nearly dislocated his shoulder.
We're talking about pathetic people falling down. A 6'4" Haaland going down under Cucurella, blowing him in the wind.
Game for the game. He played.
You know what?
He played the occasion.
That, but then at the same time, right? As a Chelsea fan, we don't get this a lot. A home game where we actually play well. On top of that, come back twice.
You don't usually
do that. And on top of that, score in the latter stages of the game.
And 1 point.
I'm aware. Listen, let us have something. You know what I mean?
Give credit where credit's due. I thought Chelsea attacking-wise were very good. Yeah. Cole Palmer, wow, he's the bollocks. I'm really happy to see him doing well. But then again, City attacking-wise were very good. I thought both defences were not great. And a lot of the goals were due to defensive errors.
I felt like James had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Reece James did.
I think, look,
mate, the marking for Akanji's goals is so bad.
Yeah, but we're not great at corners. Yeah, also, we're terrible when it comes to set pieces.
And looking back, Enzo's supposed to be the guy that blocks the run. Yeah. And he leaves Akanji when he takes the short corner to kind of go out to it. And he just leaves him free. But that's not even on the defense.
I'm also saying vice versa, though. Thiago Silva's goal, by the way, who's picking him up? No one.
Yeah.
No one's picking him up. And then, what was the other goal? There was another defender.
Gvardiol had a bit of a nightmare.
But it was... who gave away in the middle of the park? For one of your goals. The City defender gave it away, didn't they? It was Rodri. He gave away in the middle of the park.
Maybe,
and then it led to Gvardiol's mistake, I think. But we said it on Pitchside Live that a lot of the goals were defensive errors. Mm. Maybe not massively ones, but it was definitely a game of two attacking teams.
Yeah, you don't get many 4-4s.
But that's what makes it a good game, wouldn't it? Reece James, though...
What about him?
You're a different team with him, you know.
I'm aware.
You are a different team with him. He sort of is all the glue to Chelsea, I find.
Mm. Mm. He did a little Instagram post again as well.
Did he? What did he say?
Where, like, with him and Doku, where it's like, he's just pocketed him or something. He likes a little Insta post.
He did it about Zaha, and Zaha put an Insta story crying about it last time. So yeah, it's, he's really got it in the locker. But he has everyone in the locker whenever he comes up against them, to be fair.
I thought Doku was a very tricky winger, and I thought Reece James did very well up against him.
Yeah.
But then obviously they took Reece James. No, they Doku off first. Who came off first?
Because they basically got a yellow for getting diving, didn't they?
And then it was Gusto versus Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
And Jack just came on to control the game, basically, didn't he? Like, but obviously, Chelsea get a last-minute penalty.
Indeed.
Stonewall penalty, I'd say.
100%.
But Cole Palmer, man.
Cold Palmer.
Yeah. Oh, I like that one. Yeah. Ice in his veins. Chelsea fans?
I was a bit scared. I can't lie. Especially after that penalty against Vicario, where I felt like Vicario probably could have even saved that one. Let's be honest. I felt like, I think I was literally speaking to my mates. I was like, you know what? Maybe give it to Sterling. Maybe he's more calm in the situation. He's buried me a few times when it comes to penalties as well. So I was like, I trust him. But no, Cole Palmer went up. You know, the fact that he also decided to hit it a bit higher.
Yeah. That's ballsy.
Exactly.
Ballsy.
Massive respect for him. And yeah, he just done what he had to do.
Do you think this game, I know obviously last week as well, but do you think this game in particular is a turning point for Chelsea's season?
I kind of felt that when we played you guys with Arsenal. That's what's interesting about it. Like, after that, I was like, right, now we kick on. You've shown you can perform at that level. But I think that's the issue, is that at that level, we're really class.
Mm.
It's the lower level we kind of struggle with. It's almost Chelsea play to the level of whoever they're playing.
100%.
The difference is, you're against Arsenal and City, you're playing a team that's coming out to attack you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The other way around, you're going to struggle to score again.
Low block, we're suddenly all lethargic when it's high intensity and everything. That's why I think we got you next, I think.
Yeah, at
St. James Park.
Yeah. I don't know why that's a Saturday 3 p.m. when you've been on every week and that would be a good game, but either way, that will be a good game because you will try and play football against us.
We got no players left.
True,
well, no, we literally got no one. Bravka's playing CDM, I swear to God. We've still got
Bravka.
He's going to have to now. We're absolutely
finished. I was impressed by Chelsea's high press against City.
Yeah.
I thought they pinned them in. Like, there was a lot of occasions where they pinned them in. I thought draw was fair. I actually thought 4-4 was fair. As in, like, not a 1-1 or a 2-2. I thought 4-4 represent this game perfectly. And that might sound stupid.
Maybe we edged it a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
Based on that
if Palmer, you know, he was doing a little jinky-majinky in the middle, I thought, we probably could have won that, but we'll take a point.
Look, you boys obviously need to start picking up points against the lower team.
You see, the crazy part is that, like, you know, watching those games, we had the chances to win a lot of those games. It's just we couldn't finish. And now we're kind of getting to the point where a bit more clinical, even just watching Jackson, right, is actually able to, like, place the shots in rather than just, like,
is he?
I don't know about that.
Okay, well, he's got a tap-in and then a hat-trick of tap-ins.
This week,
the goal is a goal.
It's been a big week for Jackson since he started shushing everyone.
Exactly.
He's on a different level. He's telling Sterling to go celebrate in front of City fans. Like, oh, he's grown on me as a character.
Listen, his XS is quite high. Expected shushing.
Expected shushing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, you're getting Kunku on the end of some of these chances as well.
When is he due to be back?
International break.
Really?
Yeah, he started training.
Lavia's coming back soon as well.
What's the deal with what do you think Chelsea are actually going to finish then? Because, you know what, you're up to 10th, I think it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, done. The dizzy heights of 10th.
Yeah, you're up to 10th, that is, by the way.
I'm aware.
keep Reece fit.
Can you get Champions League?
And you could get Champions League. If you keep Reece, because I don't really rate, I think Spurs and Newcastle are easily the favourites for 4th. And I don't really rate either of them that highly this season because they've got European football and Newcastle.
This is Champions
injuries.
League this year, right?
Yeah.
It can be, depending on the coefficient. Yeah. But the English clubs, unfortunately, do not have the minerals of teams like Chelsea, Liverpool even.
Oh, my God. We've got
the Champions League winners, Europa League winners.
Oh, yeah, Man City just can't go far in the Champions League.
No, they could carry
Arsenal,
it. They could carry
who
enough.
Are top of their group.
I think Chelsea need to realise that we're living in the present now and yous are not a scary team. You got a nice little draw against City. Good job, but City are losing to everyone these days.
If we're living
days.
In the present.
We'll see
Lewis,
you after the
Lewis,
next game.
Lewis, if we're living in the present.
City are losing to everyone these days.
Three in a row?
Hang on. Without Rodri, we're the only team to pick up points with Rodri.
Oh, what a trophy, mate. When'd you lift that?
But more important than that, you recently went to Dortmund, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
A Dortmund that have just lost Jude Bellingham, that Graham Potter's Chelsea knocked out of Champions League.
Oh, okay. How many in years
Europe,
ago was that?
In Europe, there are certain clubs that perform on a different level.
Are you about, which manager were you
I'm
about
saying,
there?
I'm saying the English
clubs. It was
clubs,
like 5 managers ago.
The English clubs are letting down the coefficient this season. They need to
this is literally only Newcastle.
And United.
This is
and Arsenal losing to Lens. Like, who are Lens?
Arsenal are top of their group.
They're a Europa League group. You know, it's a.
He's talking about Chelsea fans talking about 5 managers ago.
They're not even in any Europe.
No,
they're fucking competing for the Intertoto Cup.
Us, Liverpool and City have flown that European flag for a long time.
Genuinely serious. If Chelsea were in Newcastle's group, I'd give you one point.
No, that's incorrect. So last season, we played...
Last
season, when we were worse than we are this season, we beat AC Milan 2-0, at home, 2-0 away, 3-0 at home. We battered both of them. You've drawn them in
it's
one
It's crazy
game.
How much you talk
Dortmund,
about the past.
Dortmund, we knocked them out. And they were better last season with Bellingham. They've got worse.
Was Didier Drogba
struggling with it?
We didn't talk about that.
No.
Well, according to your point, though, Lewis, City have actually won 4 of their last 5 games in the Prem. I think it is, or 3 of the last 4. So they haven't
But if you're talking about cups as well, they lost 3 in a row.
They've also got Kevin De Bruyne coming back.
Yeah.
That is the scary turning point. The fact that he you forget that he exists this season.
Yeah, it was the first game of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, look, even Haaland is still scoring goals. He even scored with his bum.
Ball-to-ball action right there.
Speaking of Cole Palmer and speaking of Erling Haaland, this is going to be interesting right here. We've decided to rank each Premier League team's most valuable player. So we've gone through all 20 teams and we are deciding, which is their most valuable player. Now, we've got to take into consideration the importance of their player, how much they're worth, the worth to their team, not necessarily their price tag. I've done mine in just who's from top to bottom of the league currently. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shall we start with the bottom of the league?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I feel like bottom of the league is more rogue.
No, I think,
I think it gets... The harder you go down, it's like, one's most important?
Actually, let's start bottom, I think. I guess
start bottom. Burnley.
May as well.
I've got Trafford. I think that's their most important player.
He's just having a bit of a tough time. I've gone Foster. I've quite liked the look of him when he played.
Just went Brownhill, to be honest.
Wow. We've got...
I wish I could have chose no one, really, but I picked Trafford because...
But they were so good last year. I think Trafford. I think... Yeah. He's 21 years old?
Yeah, and he is literally their most valuable player. You know what I mean? So that's the only thing I'd say.
I think he's pants.
Really?
I know, but what can you do?
Like that guy, the Saliba guy at the weekend, I was like, come on, keeps.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's tough for a keeper when you're at the bottom.
He's very young as well. I just think maybe it was a bit too high. League One to Premier League, a big jump.
If Burnley get relegated, Trafford gets a move somewhere.
I'm not sure. I think it's quite tough for goalkeepers to get a move up.
Ramsdale did it.
To be fair, back to back relegations, yeah.
But it's like, it's very hit and miss.
He's
works
also
for
young,
Simon,
English.
Like, you know, Butland, for example, he was amazing at Stoke and couldn't get a move up. Mm. And, you know, it happens to a lot of goalkeepers. It's like, once you've got your set goalkeeper moving up, it's never a guarantee.
So you've gone Brownhill?
Yeah.
Because he scored?
Just, you know what? It was one of those. It's like... It was hard to pick somebody out.
It's probably the hardest team.
Sheffield United. I've gone for their current captain, Norwood.
I've gone for Hamer.
I went for Fodderingham.
Fair.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I think literally...
Keeper's Union.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like it could have been much worse for them. I know he's conceded 8 to Newcastle and whatnot. However, I feel like there's plenty of games where he was iconic. Even, you know, the game on the weekend to Brighton, I felt like could have been a different outcome if it wasn't for a big goal. So
I feel like Norwood, just their current captain, he scored that nuts pen. I think if anyone's going to drag him through the shit, he'll be their captain.
Interesting.
I'm not going to lie, I went Hamer pure the fact that him and Norwood are on 2. They're both on 2 goals.
Really? I know obviously Basham's their club captain, but...
I picked Cameron Archer and I just don't even know why. I looked at the team, I was like, I don't want to pick anyone, I'll pick a striker. Like,
just vibes.
Fair enough. Just please score.
Well, speaking of strikers, for Luton, I gone Morris.
I've gone Kenilworth Road, their 12th man at home. Because I don't really...
That's a cheat code, but I like it at the same time.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
You know what? I was torn between two. It was definitely Morris, because I feel like he probably provides the most up front. But then I also went for Kaminski. Once again, I felt like it probably could have been worse without a big goal. I feel like the save against Hoyland on the weekend, or even against Chelsea, I felt like he probably kept him in the game for much longer.
That Hoyland one, by the way, everyone keeps saying, oh, what a miss. No, it's an unreal save.
Worldie save.
Unreal save.
Genuinely. And it's like, I feel like they could have been in a much worse position with a different goalkeeper. So I need to give him his credit.
I know who he's gone for.
Clear as day.
Chong.
Chong all day, man. This guy has so much potential. A young, bright player in a good side. Score that goal. If it wasn't him, though.
Good side.
Yeah, he's making them a good side. Chong all the way, man. It's him. Who's that winger Luton have, though? He's class.
Yeah, he's quick.
Yeah, I really, really like him as well.
But then he missed so many sitters at the start of the season.
He had Trent on toast.
Do you know what you need?
Week.
When you're a team like Luton, you just need to have that one spark in your team. Otherwise, you're just going to get sat down. Yeah. And he's not like got them product. But yeah,
that is Carlton Morris, mate. He literally got gone promoted.
Is it Ross Barkley?
Ross Barkley, you know?
Cooking a little bit.
He probably should have got a goal on the weekend. That save from Onana, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great save. Yeah, Ross Barkley's a good shout, by the way. I think
Liverpool, they were awesome. Like, all of them played really well. Yeah.
Bournemouth, Solanke.
Everyone
in agreement there. Like.
Yeah. Philip Billington will have a little shout in there as well.
Yeah. Neto, potentially. This just But no, I definitely Solanke. Hold on, play what he did.
Solanke got an outside chance of an England squad, England call up.
Got a brace.
Had a lot of injuries, I think. Tony's going to have to get another betting ban. Wilson's going to have to get injured again.
He's not a bad option to have, though, really. Just like a nice powerhouse.
Does a bit of everything.
He signed a new contract at Bournemouth as well, hasn't he?
Hasn't he just equalised? He's just either overtaken or equalised his goal tally from last year.
Yeah, he did.
He needs to be getting like 15 goals, though, realistically, for them to stay up.
He needs to be there like Bamford from a few years ago under Bielsa.
One season. Fulham.
Oh.
We're all in agreement here.
Yeah.
Paulinho.
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
What?
William.
Oh, shut up, man.
Let me talk to you a guy called William. Like, this guy is absolute hero.
No. I think William's been great this season. Yeah. He has been great. But without Paulinho, Fulham don't win.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But
I find it hard to argue against that.
Fucking idiot.
I could watch William do that shift.
Yeah.
I just love him, man. I think he brings a nice bit of Brazilian class into
his longevity has been pretty impressive.
And he's Barkley's furniture at this point.
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was a bad signing when he first came to Fulham. Last season, he was unbelievable.
He's like Gallas. He's like Gallas, by the way. He just goes around them London clubs.
Well, it's because him and David Luiz have a restaurant. That's partly why they started staying when it comes to Arsenal. Yeah, they have a restaurant.
West London, sit at Fulham, pop into the restaurant at night.
Apparently, Kante used to like go in and all the time ask for free meals.
Yeah.
And like, William would kind of be like, you can pay at some point.
He got enough money, mate. I can't believe you haven't gone for Paulinho. That's a fucking hell.
Yeah.
Forrest. Gibbs White?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Awoni.
Yes.
Some striker, mate.
Yeah, no, I think he's a baller, but.
Tempted to say body.
Gibbs White's class as well.
He is unreal, but just like the amount of like goals and assists that one you brought, like I can't remember the streak he was on.
He was going for that Vardy streak.
What a player.
He's so smart as well. Like he gets in the right positions. Even that goal against West Ham is just like kind of saw Areola probably is about to parry. Nice little tidy finish. But
was he the one who headed it when Areola did that mega save in the game?
Yeah, it was. It was.
I've still gone for Gibbs White though.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick to be fair, he's class.
Yeah, hold that ratio. Everton, I was torn between two players, you know. I was very much torn between two players. Yeah. I'm still not decided.
I'm just quite set on one.
Who's yours?
So this season, the biggest difference they've got is Calvert-Lewin's fit.
He hasn't been fit only the last few games though.
But they're winning games as a result. Like he just gives them a different
presence. If
we're
talking about most valuable, I guess when he's playing...
Difference in having him to what they have.
I've gone Decore or DCL.
Decore is.
I get it with DCL right now. Like it's obviously he's obviously made a big difference.
You got Pickford.
I did not.
I thought this season Decore, but maybe overall DCL.
I think if you remove one of those players, what has the biggest impact? And like Everton have been looking like they're going down every
getting goals in it. Realistically,
you know what? This might be a personal bias, but I do really like Mikulenko.
He gets one goal and he's now their most valuable player.
He's like one of the best left backs in the league at the moment. Like you just don't look at him. Like
mental.
You know what I mean?
That's why I said
personal bias.
Kieran Trippier is a better left back.
Nah.
Locked up Salah. Salah got two goals against Everton, but watching that game, Mikulenko was actually class,
but we just don't talk about him.
I got Pickford, man. I think he's always been Everton's most important player.
Yeah. I hate him when he plays against Chelsea. He always decides to turn
up. The thing is,
if
you don't have Pickford, they can't get a keeper of the same quality at all. Like, they'd have to take such a dip. Whereas in a different position, you can substitute a better player.
But if they don't have DCL, they don't score goals.
Yeah, I don't mind DCL. It just, but it's always injured.
Decore's got a worth a shout. There's no way you can put Mikulenko as the most valuable player. That's outrageous.
You know what? I thought about saying Pickford, but I was like, I can't just put this whole list of
goalkeepers.
Palace. Eze.
Eze. Class.
I understand Eze.
Oh, well.
But let me talk to you about Anderson.
I was going to say, that was about only other choice.
I'd actually say, I think Gehi's better than Anderson.
Nah, I think Anderson's one of the best.
Anderson's
passing
is, yeah, he's class. But like, I think Gehi firm is like, I think both of them, there's a partnership that's really underrated.
It is a good partnership.
Anderson's like,
Eze though, man, come on.
No, like Eze realistically, but Anderson, man, he's so fucking good. Like,
he's
so good.
He's fucking good,
mate. I don't even know how many he scored this season. It must be like 3 or 4. Like, from a centre back. He's class.
Wolves. Who do you go for? You had Eze, didn't you, for Palace?
Yeah.
Wolves. All right. Gary O'Neill?
I don't mind it.
I don't mind.
I've got Neto.
Saturday's got me. Yeah, Saturday got Neto. Me thinking different, but I still would go Neto.
It's Neto. I think Neto's the bollocks, man. He's unreal.
Yeah. Mm. Very good.
Okay, that was it. Brentford.
It's all between two.
Mm.
Can we say Tony?
I've said Tony. Yeah.
I've said Tony, but right. Obviously, he can't play football. Yeah. So I think Mbeumo.
Yeah. That's what I put Tony question mark Mbeumo.
It was literally him or like Jensen, I think. I think both of them are. What's that face about? I think both of them are amazing. But you know what? To be honest, like Mbeumo, you know, had a lot of really good moments this season. And he's probably the one that's going to get you the goals.
Brentford needed someone to live up to like 50% of what Tony did for them. And Mbeumo's doing it.
Yeah.
He's doing it. So.
Good player.
Make of it what you will. Yeah. Chelsea.
Reece James. We've started 3 games with him against...
Not Conor Gallagher?
Not for me. I think the difference you're seeing in Reece James, like I said, he's had 3 starts. He's only played like 60 minutes in each. It was against Spurs, Liverpool and City. We haven't lost any of those games. I think I saw, actually, he's joint 5th in the league out of every player for big chances created this season.
Wow, that's pretty
in 180 minutes. Like, the difference he makes for us is whether you can get a Champions League spot and whether you won't.
Reece James?
You know what? I hate this because for the whole day, I was trying to figure out who it is. Until he said Reece James, I actually had Raheem Sterling because I feel like, offensively, especially before Cole Palmer joined, there's nobody that actually offered something interesting up front for us. And I feel like the way he takes on players, the way he creates chances, it's hard to replace that. And he's arguably, in my mind, one of the better performing players in the Premier League this season.
I feel like he's been Chelsea's best player this season.
100%.
And then Cole Palmer's pushing him, but for me, I've got Reece James.
Yeah. No, I'm joking. Sterling.
Are you going for Sterling as well?
I think Sterling, for the exact reason you said. Like, I think if you take Palmer out of the team, it's less impactful than taking Sterling out. I think Sterling's massive.
Interesting. I think time will tell, though. West Ham, I think it's pretty unanimous. James Ward-Prowse?
Oh, no, I went Paquetá. Mate, I think he's class. Like that. I think he's their best player by like a distance.
Ward-Prowse got like 9 assists this season.
I know, but...
The most assists out of anyone in the Premier League.
I'm not watching Kufa's corners.
Not far behind with assists as well, surprisingly. I was very shocked. He's like on 4 right now. And
that's 5 behind.
No, I'm saying in the Prem. And then I think Ward-Prowse is on 5.
No, Ward-Prowse on 9 assists this season. Prem? Oh, not for... I don't know, but for West Ham, he's got 9, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about Bowen. I feel like he just offers so much for them offensively. Like,
Bowen.
Lot of goals. Underrated.
Yeah.
A lot of goals.
You know, like, to be honest, if it was like the start of the season, I probably would have said Antonio because the way he started off was crazy.
He's always there. They always try and replace him every year. He always comes through.
I think Bowen just offers them so much. And, you know, whether that's goals, assists and everything, even the runs he makes.
It's gone headers.
Yeah.
Ward-Prowse for me.
You got Ward-Prowse, yeah. I think, yeah.
6th best English centre mid.
Okay. Brighton, I got one for you.
Let's hear it.
Estupiñán.
I have the same.
They haven't won a game without him. When he got injured, they haven't won a game.
Yeah, mid-September was their last win.
Yeah, they haven't won since that. In the Prem at least.
I was torn between two. He's one of them. And then the other one was Pascal Gross. I think he's just like a Swiss Army knife. He offers so much to that team.
I actually think you're right. Yeah. A lot of people maybe say like Matoma or something like that, but exactly. Gross plays every game, 90 minutes every game. Also, I find it quite hard for Brighton because they're such a team. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's not a standout player, but I've gone for Estupiñán because obviously they haven't won without him.
I also think Matoma's form has been impacted by not having Estupiñán.
Yeah, on the left-hand side. Yeah, you're right.
I really like Grob, but...
Grob.
Ferguson, right? Because he's just going to bring them 130 million, like, at the end of the season.
Yeah, but, with Adringa as now as well, like, he's scoring goals. Ansu Fati.
Ferguson's going to go off loads, man.
Even well
He's going to bring them a ton of money. Like, he's
going to bring them tons of money, but they don't... But without him, they're fine.
I agree.
But without Estupiñán, they're fucked.
I agree. But I just think...
are we saying Tony Bloom is there?
I'm basing it on the amount of money he's just going to bring into that team and then go off and do maybe a Caicedo and just be...
Nah, he's
good.
Destined for greatness, Evan Bergson.
Might be. We'll see, though.
Hatred to Caicedo. Leave him alone.
Very loud off the
Newcastle.
You're Bruno Gamara. Yeah, I went Bruno.
There's so many people you can choose for us, I feel like.
Yeah. I was tempted to go Trippier as well.
Yeah, I went Trippier.
Oh, Trippier, of course.
But you've got good foot. You've got Hall and Livermore, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I based this off the Bournemouth game alone, so Bruno G.
Yeah.
Because we could not handle being pressed at all without
you
Bruno's composure.
Tired against Bournemouth.
We were just panicked. Like, every time we got pressed, Bruno's composure is just missing.
We'll touch them in a bit.
Yeah.
But you went for Bruno G as well.
Yeah.
Man United, Bruno F.
Yeah.
Bruno F.
Bruno F. Johnny Evans. The whole team's shit. He's came and saved the defence. Big up, Johnny.
They were winning against Copenhagen until he came off.
Exactly. Yeah. Johnny Evans saved the defence. That Man United team is toilet. I'm sorry, right?
Toilet.
They are poo-poo.
Oh, are they toilet, are they?
They are poo-poo.
They're toilet.
They are bad.
They're so, guys, they are so toilet.
They're so
to
toilet.
Luke,
they're going
they're
out.
One
of the
point
easiest
ahead of Newcastle.
They're going out the easiest Champions League group. And they lost 3-0 to our D
team.
Get
me, you're both going out of the Champions League.
No, we're staying in.
And United are a point ahead of Newcastle, but they are toilet.
We beat them 3-0 with Kraft in centre-back. Now, okay, Kraft hasn't played in 400 days and he's Sweden's second-choice right-back.
So why are you behind them in the league?
I don't know, man. That is literally the Manchester United way. They won't play beautiful, but they'll somehow win games.
Yeah, they'll 1-0 Bruno.
Exactly.
You know Man United
Wolves,
in the Premier, the most informed
Forest
team?
Yeah, I think.
I'm
not having it, man.
But I agree that we're watching them. You think this is going nowhere, though.
Exactly.
With other teams, you think, oh, they're building that. You can see what they're trying to do. With United, I think this is a mess.
You know what's the craziest part as well? They get the right chances. Like Rashford probably should have scored. Garnacho should have definitely scored. Mm. Højlund should have scored. But they're literally kind of like Chelsea at the start of the season. They just don't know what to do with the ball.
The problem is all the players, right, are all little throwing their hands in the air. They complain of absolutely every single thing that doesn't go the way. They sum up the entitled football team that like these Chelseas are. But like they're the worst.
Kieran Trippier might think another fan base is very entitled.
Nah, he doesn't love
this weekend. Didn't you literally put a tweet out saying, oh my God, man, some of these Newcastle fans are too entitled?
Yeah, some of them are. But Man United, man, it's not even...
You've called your own fan base entitled.
Certain ones, and fans would agree. But the actual players themselves, no, the Man United players, come on. It's embarrassing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Bruno epitomises that, even though we put him as MVP.
He's also really good. Aston Villa, Ollie Watkins.
I've actually gone Douglas Luiz.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I thought you said you don't like him.
I don't mind it. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
FPL.
I think those are the two options there, to be honest. He started off very strong as well. Yeah. Right?
What, John McGinn?
Yeah, McGinn or Luiz.
Can we talk about Diaby?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think he's unreal. Okay. Especially with his breakthrough Premier
Most
League
valuable
season.
Player, though, it's got to be Watkins, surely.
It's his breakthrough season, as we found out from...
Don't even start on that.
I think he's unreal. And I think he's only going to get better as well.
Also, another personal bias, Matty Cash, just because he's Polish.
He's also very good at football.
Yeah, that as well.
And golf. Spurs, Maddison.
Madders.
Yeah.
Not so.
Yeah. You know what? I was tempted to go with Van de Ven, only for the fact that when they went from him to Dyer and Ben Davis on the weekend, it was like massive difference. But yeah, I think, you know what? Also Vicario, I was going to say, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He saved them so many times. Even, you know, in the games against Arsenal, against United, like those could have been different scorelines without him. So yeah, it's a tough one.
I've gone for Madders, so I think a great shout. So
I didn't even consider a different player to Madison.
Fair enough, man. Arsenal. There could be a couple there. I thought there was a couple.
I had one clear one, and last season I thought was proof in the pudding is Saliba.
You're not wrong. You're actually not wrong.
Like if he's not there, that team crumbles.
Arsenal lost to Saliba and essentially lost the title.
Yeah, that is true.
But I've still gone for Saka.
I went for Declan Rice.
Oh.
Yeah. I feel like he offers something a little bit more. There's a little bit of different energy. I felt like with Arsenal at times, it kind of feels like a couple of the players kind of like calmed down a little bit compared to last season, whilst Declan Rice came in and he's still kind of been like guns blazing a little bit. There's just like a different energy about him. And I should hate him because he supports SC Dons. But yeah.
I went Saliba. I think he's just an absolute unit, like.
Yeah. He is. I love him. Yeah. What, 22, 23?
Yeah. He was, when we played Hughes, he just like handled us so well.
Yeah.
Like too easily.
Best centre back in the league.
I actually agree.
What about Ruben Diaz?
I prefer Saliba.
After yesterday.
I prefer Saliba, yeah. I've struggled for Saka though, because we love you, Saka. Liverpool, Salah?
No.
Oh,
that keeper. Alisson, I think the difference Alisson makes is just astronomical.
I didn't even think about Alisson.
I was thinking this the other day. Someone was putting out like who's the best player in the world, and I would never pick a keeper as the best footballer in the world. But in a way, I was like, every week he's unreal. He ticks every box, and he does it every week, every year. And not that Salah's phenomenal, and he'll always deliver you goals, but he will have games where he's a bit less in it, or when games that Liverpool struggle in, like Alisson's always there to just turn losses into points, turn draws into wins.
Because
it's tight though between the two.
The attackers they got as well, they can do without Salah.
I went with Van Dijk. He's just rock solid at the back. I think he's been, you know, the guy that wins you your aerial battles. It's hard to get past him. And, you know, we've seen what it's like without him in the side as well. You know, you can try to put a different centre back, whatnot. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I just think he's just too good. Mm. Like, let's be honest, I think, you know, arguably...
He had a bit of an off-season last year.
I think there's a lot of good centre-backs in the league now. I don't know if he's top three even.
I know.
He's been good this
he's
year.
He's had a good season, mate. He has had a good season. Who have you got?
Other than against
Salah. You went for Salah.
Yeah, I thought Salah. Mm.
I think Liverpool fans would either say Salah or Alisson.
I think
one of the three.
Makes Alisson's work a little bit easier at times. Van Dijk.
Well, maybe, final team of Man City. I've gone Rodri.
Rodri.
Yeah.
They won every... Well, no, they haven't. Chelsea stopped them. But
Arsenal beat them.
Not with Rodri. That's what I'm saying. The only reason there's a title race at the moment is because Rodri fancied a holiday. He took three games off and they lost to Newcastle, Wolves and Arsenal when he came back and they're, you know, back at it.
Well, you went for Rodri as well, John?
I did indeed.
And Lewis, you went for Rodri?
I did.
Well, let us know your most viable player at each club in the comments down below. Moving on to Alisson's team, Liverpool. 3-0.
Mm.
In a title race? Surely. Second. Yeah. Level on points with Liverpool, with Arsenal. Same wins, draws, losses. Only one goal difference better than Arsenal.
Mm. It's like the sneakiest like title charge of all time. I thought they were shit this season. I looked at the table and I'm like, what's going on?
You rarely watch them and think, wow.
Yeah?
Mm. But Salah scores a goal, gets a pen or whatever. They just
they're low-key cooking, you know.
Yeah.
Also, I want to pile on the pressure on Liverpool. So Liverpool were 100% in the title race.
Yeah.
They, if anything, they really, if they don't win the title, it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much pressure on Liverpool now because they are in a title race. They're second in the league. They have to keep performing. And they like it when they're under the radar.
Yeah. Shout out.
Can Liverpool win the league?
You know what? The crazy part is that, you know, even when things don't look like they're going their way, when they're 1-0 down or whatever, they find a way to sneak back in. Because I personally felt like if Wemo scores that goal, you know, and he's 1-1 against Alisson, and instead of trying to dink it, he probably tries to place it wherever. Mm. That's a different game. They even had the chance in the first couple of minutes, you know, from the corner and whatnot with Pinnock. And it's a tough one because even though they've done all of that, I still expected that Liverpool would have found a way to get back in. And they're just one of those teams. You just expect them to win games now. And I do believe they're going to pile on the pressure with City. And if they give up points like they did to Chelsea or Wolves or whatnot, it might be quite interesting. I think they've got more of a chance than maybe like Arsenal or Spurs.
You think Liverpool have more of a chance than Arsenal?
Yes.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got the know-how.
Arsenal.
Yeah. What does that mean? No, we're the only team to push City last year.
It's
and we're the same
year.
Point.
No. They're also the only team to overcome City properly. Like
if you were that team, you would have won the title last year. If you were the team to push City, you would have done it and won last season.
So what possibly has made you think that this season, Arsenal, who are currently 1 point behind City, have beaten Man City and level on points Liverpool, are not in... have a chance of winning the title?
You've displayed last season with 13 point lead, you'll still lose somehow. So like now I'm like, I can't put my faith in Arsenal.
Liverpool have done that.
Yeah, but they've actually beat City in the past.
In a nonchalant, fanless season.
That is true. We don't actually really count it, but it did. It didn't even exist. Happen. Yeah.
Sorry.
I just think when it gets to the crunching part of the season, Liverpool have displayed that they don't bottle, where Arsenal, you do. You bottle.
Wasn't that one of the reasons why you guys brought in Raya, right? Because it kind of felt like players like Ramsdale, you know, wonderful
true.
Player, tends to like tail off a little bit towards the end of every season that he plays, pretty much.
I think it is just a race for second place, if I'm honest. Like, I've said how important I think Rodri is. I think if Rodri gets injured, that's the only way there's an actual title race. And equally, if Liverpool were to win the league, the only way they're going to do it is sign. If they signed like Polina in January, because I just think they lack the control that like a City does. Like, I don't see City dropping points to Luton away.
But to be honest,
even if Kenilworth Road is my MVP.
The crazy part is like players like Nunes started to find a way to link up with Salah nowadays as well. Like, you know, he's getting, you know, his assists in and everything. And it's one of those things when they fully start cooking, then we'll see what the team's about.
Do you think it's a three horse race, City, Arsenal, Liverpool?
I feel like it might be a two horse race soon. I'm confident enough that I feel like it's going to be
between Liverpool and City.
I know there's still three teams in it. Well, no, actually there's more than that. But I do believe if there were teams to do very well this season, I feel like it's going to be between City and Liverpool. That's just...
I don't know where this whole narrative comes from. Arsenal have literally lost once in the league this year. The same points as Liverpool.
Who's that two?
I can't remember. I think it's also the fact that you looked so much... I just think we looked so much better last season at the start of the season than you have this season.
Yeah.
But we're still... points-wise,
you were actually better than last season.
It's a three-horse race.
But I think it's a two-horse race for second. Like, I don't see how anyone...
Spurs are definitely not in it. And we called this from the beginning. I got so much abuse for it.
No, they're in it, man.
I apply the same logic. Yeah, but that's the whole Spurs.
You know they're going to... They get a few injuries, great cards, and they're out of the title race.
Yeah, but then at the same time, there's a lot of teams that they're getting the results, but they're not all the time looking the greatest. Yeah. And Tottenham's one of them. You know, they'll get the results. Sometimes you're thinking, oh, this is a bit, you know, scrappy or whatnot, but they'll do it. And that's kind of how I felt with you guys last year at times as well. Like, how many games did you guys win in like the 90th minute? Mm. Not to take away from you guys, because I think that's an amazing,
champion.
Yeah, that's an amazing aspect. But there's definitely games where you're looking at it and you're like, oh, you just scraped it. You know, whether that's like a Reece Nelson 94th minute goal or, you know, whoever.
But would you, I'm not being
you
funny.
You need a lot of that magic this year.
But if Arsenal conceded in the 90th minute against Chelsea to draw 4-4, everyone would be like, soft underbelly, they've bottled it.
The thing
why
is
no one saying that about Chelsea?
I think there's an expectation.
Why is no one saying that about City?
The expectation is at the end of the season that City will just be like, right, we'll have to try now and start just blasting everyone, because that's what they do. They were rubbish at the start of last season and then they just decided, oh, we'll turn it on now. Yeah. They're just like a machine.
Yeah, not only that, it's like, this is all about De Bruyne. Yeah. They haven't even had De Bruyne since like mid 10 of the first game of the season. They're on a different level. Until that bald bloke fucks off, we're all kind of waiting. And then we'll get some title races.
It is a huge game after the international break of Liverpool City.
Yeah.
That's massive.
Mm-hmm.
What if Liverpool win that?
You know what? You'd still expect that.
It's at the Etihad,
isn't it? City will just end up winning like all their games until the end of the season.
Yeah.
Well, look, speaking of Liverpool and speaking of Salah, we're now going to rank. This is rough. This is real rough. Our top five greatest Premier League players ever, because Salah's just hit 200 goals for Liverpool. He's got 15 straight matches at Anfield. He's got goal or assist.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Very good.
This match is a record set by Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry. As I said, 200 goals for Liverpool. Where does he rank in your top five Premier League ever greatest players?
Oh, he's not in it. No chance.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not. Like, Salah's a phenomenal player.
Could he be?
Could he be in someone else's top five? Yeah, sure.
But could he be at the end of his career?
Do you think he's going to Saudi in a year? After the summer that just happened?
Do you know what? If they like win the league again, like, you might just be like, well, that's a nice way to part.
Yeah.
But, well, give us your top five ever.
Okay. Thierry Henry.
Fifth.
Top. Oh, sorry. I'll start fifth,
yeah.
Okay, fifth. It's quite a rogue shout. It's a bit of a boring shout in a way, but I actually put Ashley Cole. Like, he's the best. Everyone.
I actually don't mind it.
If anyone did an all-time Premier League 11, no one argues left back.
Because there's no one else in left back, man. But, Luke Shaw.
No, but even in world football.
Yeah.
Dennis Irwin.
Even in world football, the only you could put Maldini ahead of him. Other than that, I think Ashley Cole's Like he's one arguably the best English player producing in a sense. In terms
argued he's the best left back ever.
Yeah.
Is him or Roberto Carlos or Marcelo?
He's a great, he is like probably like the best left back ever, but like,
I know I'm putting a left back there. I don't mind it. I was just thinking, I was like, who's Premier one of the best players that's played?
And yeah.
yeah, he backs up and he's won everything. Champions League, win everything.
Fourth,
I've got JT. I've got the best centre back of the Premier League scene.
This is the best
Chelsea players so far.
The best Chelsea list of all time.
Again, it annoys me to say you've got two defenders in top five, which is boring, but at the same time, JT is one of the best players. Is he top five, though? I don't think he is.
He has more career goals than Iniesta. For a centre back, is nuts. His passing was one of the most underrated things about him. He could just ping it either foot.
Body on the line.
Exactly.
He won PFA Player of the Year in 2004, 2005. 10 years later, in the same, like, won the league in both those seasons, but he played every minute. 10 years out, like, no one's matching that kind of longevity as a captain. He literally defined Chelsea.
I've got a few players who match that longevity,
not as like a captain who is the main thing in their side. I don't think.
Well, I think Ryan Giggs would have something to say about that. I know he wasn't captain.
I can't rate Giggs. He's not even the best Giggs the UK's produced, but JT was
okay, who's your third?
I've Wayne Rooney.
Interesting. Okay,
just so I think you touched on it yesterday, a bit underrated. Like, yeah. People talk about Rooney now as if, you know, he fell off everything.
Because he's a crap manager.
Yeah. What's
true?
This 16-year-old rocking up and scoring against David Seaman was one of the most nuts things anyone's seen in football. And then the career at United obviously won everything. Kind of Ronaldo being so good took away from how good Rooney was and the hard work he put into kind of allowing Ronaldo to grow as a player
second.
I think it was also the stint where he kind of started to become like a centre mid or like a it kind of felt like a CDM, and I think took away so much from him, because, you know, towards the end of the career you're like, oh, you know what, you start to forget just how good he was, and you're like,
I remember he had that big goal drought, didn't he? And then his goal back, it was like the overhead kick against City.
Yeah.
Was that Broca's goal drought, was it?
I'm sure it did, like, because everyone was like, he's like, just not, it was like 10, 12 games or something. Mm. Then overhead kick.
Even in that spell, like, when you look at that Fergie's last team that won the league and Fergie's last season, it's kind of looked at as the worst league winning season in a way, because Van Persie sort of carried it. But like the couple years prior to that, that squad was pretty weak, and Rooney was scoring like 25, 30 goals a season when Ronaldo had gone, when Tevez had gone that same year. Like, he was really carrying them for a number of years. He could play anywhere. He could do everything.
You touched on Ronaldo, Rooney link up. Who's second for you?
Ronaldo. Yeah, Ronaldo. To be honest, if Ronaldo had stayed another year in like 08 or 09, if he stayed another year, I would have him first. Because I think that's the best player in terms of like an individual year. That 07-08 Ronaldo is the best player I've seen in the Premier League. Like, he was just Ballon d'Or winner.
But like, he didn't hit his prime in the Premier League. Like, can he be in the great yacht? Are you remembering are you remembering the Ronaldo who went on to achieve everything?
Ronaldo, his prime is still better than the majority.
How many years did he have at that greatest level in the in Premier League history?
Yeah, three. 06, when they won their three titles in a row, Ronaldo was the best player in the league every one of those seasons. I actually think, to be honest, in terms of an iteration of Ronaldo, that's my favourite Ronaldo to watch. Like, when he was doing step overs and taking the piss.
Free kicks. Portsmouth.
Even
when he scored against Arsenal.
He's phenomenal. Yeah, just for me to be a Premier League greatest ever player, it's something you have to do over a more sustained time.
He was there six years.
But at the highest level.
Because I can't put Suarez in, because I agree with that. Suarez, it was too brief. Whereas Ronaldo, I can say, they won three leagues in a row. They won a Champions League sandwich between that. And he was the best player in the league for all three of those seasons.
It's a tricky one.
Who's your first?
Thierry Henry.
I love it.
What more can you say about Thierry Henry? Was just he was unbelievable.
John's looking a bit.
No, I'm just worried because I was looking at this and I was like, there's so many ways to go about it because there's, you know, so many great players. So I was fully torn.
Give us your list. Go on. Name all five.
Okay. So in five, to be honest, my five and four are actually the same as yours. No. Literally, Ashley Cole, for the same reason. Best left back in world football, in my opinion. And then in four, I've got JT. Once again, I think centre back. Arguably the best. Yeah, listen, you've done this to yourself, by the way. But
you do your all-time Premier League 11s. Those two are the first names on it. Well, they're two of the first names on it. Like,
I've got someone in my team who wouldn't even make it an all-time 11.
Interesting.
Actually, no. Sorry, I got it wrong. Sorry, Ashley Cole was six. JT was fifth.
So you made a top six.
Yes. I make the rules here. Then I had
So JT fifth.
Yes.
Ashley Cole's not on your list. Forget him.
Yeah.
Then I had Gerrard.
Fourth.
Yeah. I feel like he didn't win the titles, but, you know,
longevity,
iconic. Exactly. Done his thing. Then three, once again, maybe a Chelsea bias, maybe a personal bias.
Lampard. Third best Premier League player ever.
Yes. Listen. But like I mentioned, it's definitely a personal bias. He's one of my favourite growing up. Look, goals, the titles, he was just amazing. And people will be like, oh, you know, he had the team around him, whatever. But at the end of the day, what he was still performing on that pitch is immense. So I'll put him there. You know, there's definitely a shout for so many players that could be above
second.
Him, second, Rooney. And then first one, Thierry Henry.
This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. No, I thought this is mental.
Who have you got?
Five, I've got Ryan Giggs. 13 Premier League titles. He played at the top of the level for like 20 years.
West Brown's got about.
Yeah.
Right, he was part of the treble winning side.
But I did also feel like he weren't the best player on the team at certain years.
He played every game for 20 years.
Yeah. Not to take away from him.
I don't know if he did.
You know, may not be the nicest player, but nicest person, but...
No, Giggs was class.
Yeah. Ryan Giggs, mate.
Well, yeah, we're not saying that he's a
terrible
player,
by the way. The goal he scored against Arsenal, for example.
Mate, think how many good players, though, we're all leaving off.
Exactly.
But Ronaldo didn't make that one.
Yeah.
You got no Ronaldo in top five?
Oh, nah, shit. I didn't.
Top six?
Yeah.
No, he was in top six. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's a tough list.
No, but you know what? Like, I did think about it. I just thought, based off, like, what was mentioned before, kind of like, his prime was... away from Manchester United. That, to be honest, that Champions League year that they won, you know, unfortunate to us. Mm. Like, what? I think he scored like 40-odd goals in like, 46 goals in 40 games or something like that in all competitions. Like, you know,
and
that level for a winger.
You've actually called Gerrard and Lampard ahead of him.
I do indeed, yeah. But not, I'm not saying that he's a terrible player or anything. Like, I just think his prime.
So you think, where would you put him in your top 10?
Is he in there?
You know what? No, he's definitely in there, but, you know, that's not the question I've been asked. Let's just say.
Man. Right, fourth, I got Wayne Rooney.
Yep.
Okay. Fourth. Third, Cristiano Ronaldo. Second, Alan Shearer.
Thank you. Oh my
All
God.
All-time top Premier League goal scorer ever.
I'm aware. But like, I felt like if Harry Kane stayed in the Premier League for a little bit, he probably would have.
He didn't.
He didn't.
Forgetting that, like, okay, Kane or Shearer as a player.
Well, you
no. That, this is friendship. This is no, no. If you're on about Alan Shearer, is so for some
how,
reason,
no, how can you not? He carried Blackburn to a title. Yep. How can you not have the all-time Premier League top goal scorer not in your top five?
Emphasizing that he played for Blackburn and Newcastle. He wasn't at Man United. Yeah, he was dominant.
He was brilliant.
To be honest, you know, Blackburn
winning a title.
There's also probably a bit of bias in that. Like, I saw the back end of Shearer. Yeah. Everything else is retrospective. So, like, all these players I've mentioned, players you've watched year in, year out.
Giggs, Rooney, Ronaldo third, Shearer second, Henry first. Unanimous. Yeah. Thierry Henry, man, made a generation fall in love with football.
Yeah. Made a generation of Arsenal fans. I always felt. Mm. And I suffered on the
100%.
The suffering.
Harsh, but true. Lewis,
I actually have, believe it or not, John Terry fifth. I agree with the Terry praise. He just was class-like and he scored a ton of goals. And I love a centre-back who scores a goal. Mm. Kind of contradict myself. The reason I picked this player is I believe we saw the prime of him in the Premier League. And it is Suarez. Mm. I think...
Mate, he's not top five Prem all time.
I would argue...
You think his prime was the Premier League? Like, not MSN? Really?
I think... I guess it's both here for long
two
through
primes.
Ball.
Not putting Hazard in then?
I'll probably say Aguero.
I almost put Hazard in.
Suarez over Hazard.
Mate, I just love that. Suarez, again.
Aguero. Hazard was the best player in the Premier League for 3 years straight.
Again, let's say, you know, Suarez, not the nicest person, but on the pitch, he was just like...
Did it for like two seasons.
There's not many strikers who are aggressive, like the Diego Costas, who were like nasty strikers and all, like, go after you.
Is that third or fourth?
I know they didn't win the league, but like... You could count, I mean, some of them are on our list. I think Hazard's another one, but like, there's only a certain amount of players that you can count on one hand who could carry that Liverpool side to even getting close to a league.
Yeah, Gerrard.
That was a crap side. Like, it was like, what was it?
Was.
It was Flanagan.
It was.
Flanagan's
it was shit, actually. And... He was playing alongside Lambert, wasn't
it? It was Stevie D and Suarez doing that. Who's your third?
It was Sturridge and...
Sturridge was good, and Sterling was like a kid. And then it was John Flanagan and Mignolet. It was...
Third?
I don't know if I'm going to get showered at this or not, but KDB is in there for me third. I think when he retires and we look back at how fucking good he was in one of the most dominant sides in Premier League history... Like, think we've all made a list here. Has anyone got a player from one of this Man City team that right now is like one of the best teams we've ever
seen?
Yeah,
but God, I think
if you told me to put a manager in, I would have had him in.
Yeah, I just think KDB, man, he's class. Like, it's a lot of nostalgia when you pick a top five, isn't it?
No, I know, but if he's third all time.
Yeah, he's the second.
He just might be.
No, you know what?
Maybe when he finishes.
I feel like
he's still got more years to give, though.
Whenever you have those conversations of like Scholes, Lampard, Gerrard, and all of that, like, I feel like, you have to add him to that conversation now. Like, what he offers to that Man City side.
Does he not win that conversation as well?
No.
KDB.
Probably does.
Yeah.
Wait, so hang on a minute. He's got Terry.
Suarez, KDB.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Yes. You might not like this next one. I have got Thierry Henry second.
I had a feeling he was going to say that.
Because the greatest Premier League player of all time is the person who has scored the most goals in the Premier League. It's Alan Shearer.
Who? What?
Okay.
Number one. Thank you very much.
So you...
He did his job better than anyone else could possibly do a job. Won a title with Blackburn.
Who made people fall in love with football? Shearer or Henry?
That's not why I'm making a list.
For you,
it's Thierry Henry. No, for me, it's Alan Shearer. And for most people from Newcastle,
even people
Alan
that
Shearer.
Weren't Arsenal fans fell in love with football.
You can ask any Newcastle fan, Alan Shearer, or people of that generation.
Who's got more Premier League trophies?
Yeah, but you have to put that aside. Thierry Henry played
in a beautiful manner.
Yeah, he did. He played fantastic, but otherwise I'd rank Isak on this list.
That's biased.
West Brown number one.
No, you can't.
Premier League time.
Alan Shearer, his job was to score goals. He did that better than any other striker in Premier League history has at a team that weren't as well equipped as other people.
I'll back you a little bit. And after big knee injuries.
Yeah.
Like, Shearer had like a...
People forget about
he
this.
Had a career-changing injury at Blackburn. Like, he had a bit more pace and everything.
Couple.
He had to change his game. He was like one of the best strikers the Premier League seen.
But that's why I put him second.
But like, would I pay... Okay, if it comes down to subjective vision. Like you said, you've grown up. That's like the guy there. But it's like, would I pay to watch Shearer over Henry or Hazard?
Shearer had about two... I think he had two clean seasons out in his prime. Mm. Like, just like... Mm.
And still but, kept doing
yeah, and his
it.
Yeah, knee injuries. Yeah. And remember for England as well, he was raw off. He hadn't scored for England for years. And then it was in like 92 or something, he came in and started over. Like, who
92.
Did we have as strikers?
Andy Cole.
You didn't mention 92?
No, I can't remember the year. I wasn't.
Well, Premier didn't exist. Then.
Yeah. No. 96. Yeah, no, England. England.
Euro 96.
96, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
And like the strikers England had that at one. That time. And he started over all of them and scored the most goals in the
Henry
competition.
Won a World Cup.
Yeah,
if you want to talk about
England,
if you want to talk about international, that's France.
That's France tax, like. It is.
And it's England tax, because we don't win anything anyway.
Yeah, we don't win anything. But like the fact is, he was still chosen across the best strikers of England's generation. Mm. He was chosen as the top dog.
Yeah, but I just feel like I've put in second.
We are arguing over players that have statues outside grounds. Yeah. Like they're all like...
I do agree. I have grown up celebrating as this man Shearer. For like my entire life. Yeah, so obviously that comes into it. But fucking Shearer, man. I can't not pop
that. I will personally say that I think I come away with a dub there. But hey, let us know your five greatest Premier League footballers ever in the comments down below. Anyways, Lewis, it's me and you for this section, man.
We're all lonesome today.
Yeah, we are lonesome. Everyone left us. It's time to chat Super 6. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a bit of a fun one this week. It's a new one, okay? But before we get into it, make sure you join our Super 6 mini league using the code PTCH23. How did you actually do this week?
I'm going to have a quick look. I had a class last couple of weeks, but I think I absolutely stunk it this week.
Yeah, I can't lie. I didn't have a good week this week. I got 6 points.
Yeah, I feel like with Newcastle losing and
listen to this, yeah, I was so close from getting like a lot more points. So Arsenal obviously won 3-1. I predicted 3-0. Man United won 1-0. I predicted 2-0. So I'm 2 goals away from 10 points there. Predicted 1-1 Palace, Everton. Obviously, Everton won. Predicted 2-1 Newcastle.
Did you?
Did you go Bournemouth win?
No, I went Newcastle win.
I said 2-1 West Ham. They won 3-2. And I said 3-1 City. No one got 4-4, surely.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. I only got 6 points as well. I feel like there was only three expected results came in, everything else.
I was so close to getting 10 points of Arsenal United, man. It was hard. We'll touch on next week's in a second, but let's play this new game. So we've each created a list. Mm-hmm. It could be a list of anything, okay? The other person does not know what the title of that list is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you've ranked your own top 10 based off whatever topic you have in your own head. And yep. I've got to guess which one you have, and you have to guess which one I have.
Can I say my list first?
Yeah, go on then. Shall we start with 10 and slowly work our way up?
Okay, so 10, Wayne Rooney.
Okay, that's interesting, eh?
9, Bergkamp.
So, right, okay.
8, Ben Arfa.
What the fuck can this list be? And these three players have never been linked
7,
up together.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Right, yeah, this is mental.
6, Steven Gerrard. 5, Zidane.
What? Oh, it's not even so it's not Premier League focused either.
4th, Kaká. 3rd, David Beckham. 2nd, Thierry Henry.
Uh-huh.
And 1st, Ronaldinho. I take it back. 4th, Beckham. 3rd, Kaká. 2nd, Henry, and 1st, Ronaldinho. I'll tell you now, if Reeve sat here, he'd get it.
Is it the best dribblers in football?
No.
What, mate? How's Ben Arfa?
Rooney, Bergkamp, Ben Arfa, Ronaldo, Gerrard, Zidane, Beckham, Kaká, Henry, Ronaldinho.
If you know what this is at this point in the video, comment it, because that's fucking mate. So this is based off something, maybe, like how you rate them.
Yeah. Maybe think less to do with stats and as a...
It's more how you feel.
Yes.
The players who excited you the most.
Oh, you're close. You're on the right... Now you're on the right track. You're on the right track now.
Because these are all exhilarating players that... The players who made you... Oh, I know this. Yeah, I have fucking got this now. Man. The players who made you fall in love with football. Yes, because it's Ronaldinho.
Look at the title. Footballers that made you fall in love with football.
Yeah, that's boom. Ben Arthur's on there.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so now we've got context. Walk us back through that list.
So you got Rooney. Because think about it, when you score, you go, Rooney!
Yeah, that was like a whole playground.
Bergkamp for his goal against Newcastle.
That is phenomenal.
Ben Arthur, because he's just exhilarating, exciting. I want to be left-footed because of him. Cristiano Ronaldo for free kicks.
Yeah, he's quite low for you on your list. Yeah. For like how much you love Ronaldo.
Yeah, but he didn't make me fall in love with football. He's mainly his free kicks, that was.
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard for his screamers, and his goal against West Ham stands out in my mind since being a kid. Uh-huh. Zidane, before every football match, Sunday League, I'd watch this same 15-minute Zidane compilation. Yeah. 4th, Beckham, free kicks, David Beckham. 3rd, Kaká, because he's my 3rd favourite footballer of all time, and luck being fortunate enough to meet my hero. Quite a few times.
Yeah.
Knows me.
Good mates with him. Good I love him. Kaká as well.
That's pretty mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
He says hi to me. 2nd, Thierry Henry. He was one of 2 footballers I had on my wall. I had Thierry Henry and I had Ronaldinho.
Yeah, Ronaldinho was always the hero. I think
footballers that made me fall in love with football. That's a pretty good list, right?
That is a good list. I'm surprised Ben Arfa's on there, but I'm glad he is.
Yeah.
Right.
Your list.
My list. Slightly different to yours. So, in 10, I have Vidic.
Okay.
I then have Giroud, followed by an 8th, Michael Owen.
What? Hang on a minute. Vidic, Giroud, Michael Owen?
Yeah. 7th, Lukaku.
What?
6th, Mr. John Terry himself. 5th, is Harry Kane.
Wait, hang on a minute. I got to write this down and look at it. So
10th Vidic, 9th Giroud, Michael Owen in 8th, Lukaku 7th, Terry 6th, Harry Kane 5th.
Whoa. So Lukaku and then Terry, then Harry Kane.
Yeah.
What?
You got no guesses at this point?
No.
Okay, this might help you. I probably won't. Andy Carroll, next.
In fourth.
Benteke.
Sorry, what?
Benteke is third. Second is the Peter Crouch himself.
Sorry, what the hell is this list?
And first is Alan Shearer. So to finish off, it goes Vidic, Giroud, Owen, Lukaku, Terry, Kane.
So Shearer's like your favourite player ever?
Yeah, he's just a god, isn't he? But this is...
Crouch, your second favourite player ever? No. Benteke.
Yeah, I wouldn't go down the favourite player route, personally.
Vidic and Giroud. I mean, I'm baffled. I'm genuinely baffled. It can't be to do with goals, because Vidic is in there. Terry scored goals. Shithouses, like, hardest... No, you can't have hardest men in football because Owen's in there.
Yeah, and trust me, I do not like Michael Owen because of my Newcastle ties. But he does make this list for me.
People that should have won a Ballon d'Or that didn't. Oy. But Owen did win a Ballon d'Or. Kane, mate,
I need a clue.
I've got nothing.
Well, I'd say take a notice to their positions, you know?
Yeah, strikers.
And what they're...
Apart from Terry's a centre-back and Vidic's a centre-back.
So it's strikers and centre-backs are good in this list.
What? You've listed some strikers and centre-backs. Yeah, I know that.
So what traditional traits do like a striker and a centre-back?
Is this a list of the heading ability or most headed goals in the Premier League?
It is heading ability. How I rate the best headers of a ball in Premier League
Lukaku
history.
Lukaku is in it.
Lukaku, man, has a good little header.
Where's Chicharito? Hernan...
Oh, yeah, that's a good show, actually. I put Michael Owen for the same reason. He used to be... Mike Owen was sneaky. He'd be offside, hop in, and then get it still. Yeah, and then so you got Vidic.
Benteke.
Benteke. I was just thinking of big shithouse headers
John
of the ball.
John Terry.
Yeah, Terry's probably a bit lower. Do you know who I did leave out? Tim Cahill used to score.
Yeah, he only scored with his head.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre list. I don't know if I agree with that either.
Who's your best ever header of a ball, do you think?
Shearer? Terry?
It's hard, isn't it?
Chicharito?
There's not many about who are like just header merchants except for Peter Crouch.
Who is tiny and always wins headers?
It was for Chicharito, Owen. Was Defoe decent?
No,
he didn't really get dispersed.
No. I don't know about that league, Lewis, that list, sorry, but hey, each to their own. Look, guys, let us know your lists in the comments and we'll try and guess them.
Yeah, try and guess each other's. That'll be good.
Yeah. Speaking of Super Six, obviously it returns after the international break with Newcastle, Chelsea, Forest, Brighton, Burnley, West Ham, Brentford, Arsenal, Spurs, Villa, Everton, Man United. Easiest to predict there, Newcastle, Chelsea? 2-1
Roll them over 4-0 at St. James's.
You're wrong. I think the easiest to predict there is they're actually all pretty hard.
Yeah, it's some tricky
games.
It is
a tough week this week, but remember guys, it's a free shot at £250,000. You may as well get involved. Follow the link in the description down below to sign up now. But now it's time for my favourite part of the show. Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 0, and my word, Newcastle looked tired. They were arguing with their fans.
No. It's easy up on that a little bit. It was a...
Do you know how many injuries he's got? How many injuries we've got?
He's fucking right, you know. There was that one stupid fan.
Soft underbelly, that is.
Is it really?
Soft underbelly, yeah. You've got all this money in the world, but you don't have squad depth. Okay.
I mean, we didn't anticipate having like 11 major injuries to our team. Like, that's hard to come across. The problem that worries me is this because we're trying to play this intense football with no plan B and we're doing it in training and now everyone's just dropping injured?
Well, you got Wilson, Manquillo, Bruno G, Isaac, Botman, Elliot Anderson, Dan Burn, Jacob Murphy, Harvey Barnes, Matt Target and Tonali all out.
And they're all out for a while as well, pretty much.
Yeah, Tonali's a bad injury as well.
Bad injury for Tonali.
It was one of the worst games I've seen Newcastle
play. You actually looked terrible.
They looked like you.
I literally was hiding in my jumper. Like, I was just like, it was
in my jumper.
Nah, it was like ugly to watch. And I don't blame the players. I'm not like angry at, like, because it's weird. When you lose as a Newcastle fan now, it's not like frustration. It's like, right, we're kind of lucky to be this far ahead. Well, it was off, but now it's back on because Tottenham dropped points, City dropped points, so we're straight back in it.
You don't actually believe that, though?
You're not out until you're
You actually, be honest, like, take your Newcastle hat off. You don't actually believe that.
Let me see. I think there's a 3% chances of us winning the league.
The injuries
this
are
is
bad.
Your This is your chance to prove to people that you're not stupid.
I'm clever, man. I'm the one who called 3-0 against Man United with Kraft centre-back. That's something that goes down.
A pig is right every 100 days.
People start commenting that on things now. Nah, like, obviously, I'm quite concerned overall, if I'm completely honest, about Champions League.
I don't think you get top four.
We need to really seriously think about our transfer strategy because we have no money left.
I don't think you get fifth either.
I don't know. I think fourth is really open, and especially because you're lucky that Spurs have had a big hit with, like, that's two of their best players out at the same time, because otherwise they could make a bit of a gap, I thought. But I think Europe, I think I said to you in summer, like, Europe's going to be a big hit. Like, we've had injuries for the last 2-3 years, like, terribly. Liverpool had a lot of injuries last year. Like, but also I do think it is also the football you play, because Klopp had a lot of injuries a couple of years back. Yeah. When they were playing that, they had to change their game a bit. But and you play very intense.
In terms of getting, like, Champions League though, I think Villa will finish above Newcastle. And I think Chelsea have a better chance. I think Chelsea genuinely have a better chance.
Can we please not go to panic? Because this is the problem that happens when people wrote us off right at the start of the season when we had a few tricky results and we came back and started smashing everyone. We have little downturns, but Eddie Howe has shown on multiple occasions now he can make changes. And next thing you know, we're smashing Man United 3-0, beating Man City, beating PSG. So, like, let's not panic and start saying bloody Chelsea of all. Like, put a little bit of respect on our name. Actually. Oh, no, are we serious saying Chelsea is going to finish above Newcastle?
God, you really went right.
I couldn't believe it. Just registered this team who can barely play football and just managed to get a couple of results.
Mate, they're 4 points behind you.
We had our injury troubles. Now it's your turn. And then we'll see how it goes after it.
They're 4 points behind them.
£1 billion and they got worse. That's because of
injuries.
We have drastically improved. We had a lot of injuries.
Do you know how tough it is? Like, when half of your team's
now
not
you
available.
Now you can see what it's like losing.
If Chelsea, off the international break, go up to St James's Park and beat you,
they don't stand a chance.
There's 1 point difference.
Oh, no, you're getting mullered.
You've seen us in big games,
and we've seen your injury list. You're getting mullered.
You don't stand a chance this
year. I think Chelsea beat you.
That's hilarious. You thought Arsenal beat us at St James's, and what happened is we bullied you up the park.
You got a lucky goal.
Your captain refused to shake our hand.
So do your players, mate. You're playing through all the time.
Pitch.
What?
Your players were crying off the pitch, complaining. Your manager went and your whole club all wrote a statement because Eddie Howe spanked you, man.
So why are we not making a deal out of Poch going on the pitch after the game and started screaming at the ref and getting booked? What about Kieran Trippier going up to your fans?
He'll probably do that at St James's
Trippier
as well.
Going up to your fans and arguing. No, you're not crying about that.
We can talk about that. It's the fan who's an idiot. Because the shout and that stupid fan, everyone about it.
No, like, Trippier should have just ignored it and gone in.
No, I disagree. I don't think it's wrong putting a silly fan in his place. Like, when Bruno G lashed out on Twitter, that's embarrassing. Mm. But when Trippier's put this one fan in who's saying the players haven't tried when they've been playing, like, they've got 11 injuries playing all these competitions, quarter final of
the
cup.
That fan's in his right, though, after travelling the length of the country to go support his team?
Well, I'm a guy who doesn't go on matches, so I'll get shelf him. And no, I think it's embarrassing.
I can understand the frustration from the fan, but I quite like that Trippier actually went over, because it's still good building actual connection with the fans and the players.
Good reason.
Actually,
and the guy bottled it. As soon as Trippier said it, he bottled it. He's like, oh, he's turned away. He's just in a crowd mentality, screaming absolute nonsense. We were in a relegation battle 2 seasons ago. Should be saying thank you.
Also, do you think it's quite telling though?
Should be to Trippier especially.
Trippier wasn't wrong in saying we've got injuries. But do you not think that also says a lot about what he thinks about the players that are available?
No, it's just not.
Isn't that not him saying, lads, these players we've got at the moment are shit. Got injuries. Nah. All the good players are out. We've got a lot of shitsters on. We're playing bloody Lewis Miles.
Hey, whoa! Yes. More respect than his name.
He's 17.
He's just struck.
He was one of your better players. But I think it's quite telling when a player's going, we've got injuries, because it's basically saying, there's a big level drop. You need to understand that Bournemouth 2-0 flattered Newcastle.
But that's not what he's saying. He's saying we're playing ridiculous amounts of fixtures and we can't.
Welcome to Europe.
No, well, not everyone.
Okay, all the teams in the Champions League.
Yeah, I agree, but we just haven't...
Our Liverpool crying.
Yeah, but these user teams who have been prepared for this top level for, especially Liverpool.
This is
Newcastle.
First...
Newcastle sort of skipped a step and now we're playing at the highest level.
So
and it comes with the success. It comes with the success.
You've got elite Champions League players in your team, but they can't handle like the games.
Yeah, not when they're injured.
The similar thing happened to Manchester City when they started injecting money. It took them a while before they like fully got into things. And, you know, they were in the Champions League... And they were a little bit
They didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll give them some time.
Yeah, what you're not seeing as well is like all these other entitled managers, like the Klopps of the world, who go to the media and like, oh, we got injuries. He's made no excuses. He's actually said, yes, we've got injuries, but that's no excuse. That comes with the territory. We're not petitioning to have less games in the week because we're doing this and that. Like Klopp especially does.
Only Klopp that does that.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, man. It's what comes with it.
Hey, speaking of exciting players, such as Almiron. We've decided to create, I like this one, our most exciting 11. Have you done this on current players or of all time?
Oh, I went
current.
Oh, I went like the, I went all time.
I went all time.
Oh, really?
Well, we got two of each.
I went all time Premier League.
Oh, that would be very different.
Yeah.
Okay, go with current first. Go with current first.
Yeah.
And have a think.
Go on, show us how it's done.
I'll go my current in goal, Anana. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah,
very exciting to watch.
Facts.
Right back, I've gone Reece James because you get to watch the best fullback in football. But is he going to be there? Is he going to be
really
gonna,
exciting?
Not
exciting.
Oh, he is exciting. You're watching a player that's just.
Yeah,
well,
I think you're just excited that he's on the pitch.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him. Yeah, yeah. So there is bias in this. I've gone John Stones. Not many centre backs like John Stones, like coming into midfield.
I'm just not getting me going, you know. I'm not excited.
This year, all time would be very different. But then I've gone Romero because
box office.
Estupiñán, good bombing going forward. His class. And then I've gone Paqueta, Eze, Madison. They're kind of just exciting players.
Paqueta?
What's going on with this team? Paqueta? This is a current 11.
I'll give you that.
They're exciting players. Eze certainly is like coming back. He was class at the weekend. And then I've got Doku.
This is the most
boring. I like Doku.
I've got Nunez.
Yeah.
Fuck knows what you get with him. And then I've got Mudryk because you don't know what you're going to get as well. But I need to do my all-time one will be a lot more.
You guys fully stitched us up here, man.
Yeah, exactly. We've been bent over here, giving us a current team.
I think that
hasn't rattled me with excitement, though.
No.
Yeah, but how exciting is the league when they're all robots playing tactical football?
Yeah, fact,
it's not like individualism of yesterday.
God, John.
Oh, now I feel like this is not going to be exciting at all because he went for excited as in like. Uh-huh. Maybe a few donkeys in there, whatnot. Not going to specify who before they.
Yeah, box up players.
But I kind of just went with players that I kind of enjoy watching. A little bit of excitement in, you know, not all time, current. Started in goal, went with Vicario.
He is good, actually.
I think he's class. A lot of big boy saves. But then I also went Sanchez just in case as well.
You have to play like the Spurs high line with Vicario then, because he was like sprinting into like the almost the halfway line.
Yeah,
naivety from Ange that, but
okay. time for some love over here. Left back Mykolenko once again. Absolutely love him. I don't know where it is.
The most exciting left back in the Mykolenko.
It might be the Eastern European connection here or whatnot, but he's there. I did put Kukurea in there as well. Absolutely love him. Once again, you don't know what you're going to get with him, but recently,
who's your left back?
I'll go with Mykolenko. I'll stick with Mykolenko, right? Then centre backs, right? You guys are definitely going to get onto me about this, but the 39-year-old Thiago Silva, absolutely love him. Everything that he does on that pitch is so smooth. Genuinely, the way I watch him play, the excitement is overboard. Like, I can't contain myself. I'm telling you, it's like a weekend out at Infernos or something. You know what I mean? He is amazing. Just how smart he is, especially as a footballer, when you can actually understand what he does on a football pitch, it's just amazing. But next to him, Kurt Zouma. I don't know why. I love him, right? Now this
why
one
do
is,
you love him?
Huh? I don't know. He's just like...
Is he going to kick the ball? Is he going to kick something else?
He's just like an interesting character as well.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
I would have put... I think a good centre-half to put in this is Harry Maguire. He's exciting.
He was there. But like, that's why it matters on what type of excitement we're looking for, right? Once again, he stitched us up. Right back, I went with Malo Gusto. I just like him. He's got that dog in him. You know what I mean? He's got that dog in him. He's just like, I don't know. He just gets into everything. I like him. Centre mids, I went with Bissouma.
Oh my Jesus.
What? He's an exciting player. Gets his tackles in. He's quite like nice on the ball as well. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I thought that's a
continue.
Then I went with Bernardo Silva.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the way he plays. He's literally just like so smooth with everything he does. The turns.
I'd say Foden's more exciting.
Nah, for me, it's Bernardo Silva. It's just like, as a footballer as well, just kind of like watching him on the pitch is like, you appreciate a lot of the things
I don't like
he does.
He's good, not
at,
like
he's good
it,
at everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, Eze. I was going to put Julian Alvarez in there, but I'll go with Eze instead. And then front three, I went with Sterling. I was tempted to put in Doku, but Sterling, like especially this season, what he does is just so beautiful.
I think
Doku's
more exciting though.
I know, like that City direct, game, man. I was
yeah, Sterling
it.
Yesterday was the
not,
more
not,
then
Doku told him, hey, listen, mate, this is what we do around here. Then right wing, this is personal preference. I do like Ansu Fati, so I just put him out there. Once again, the way he's been linking up for Brighton, I like it. And then up front, I kind of went with the same kind of concept as you. I just went with Nunes up top.
Yeah,
partner wrong with
just
him.
A tornado.
So that's my team, and I see a lot of surprised or not happy faces, but I stick with it. I really like my squad.
So I've done mine of all time Premier League.
Let's hear it.
In goal, Pepe Reina. His like sidewinders, goal kicks, man, and it also like his clangers. He was short, so he struggled a lot.
Hated a beach ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right back, Eboué.
Yes.
That is a shout.
Fucking hell.
Maniac.
Yeah.
Maniac. But also really good, but he's crazy. He's a lunatoon. Centre halves of David Luiz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That,
yeah.
And Alex.
Oh,
Alex, I forgot kick about him. Jesus.
He just did like 35-yard thunderbolt every single game for some reason. Left back, John Arnarisa.
Mm. Oh, shout. Yeah,
freak of a left foot.
Shout.
He's got such a powerful shot. He broke Alan Smith's ankle with it and dislocated his ankle as well. Gerrard, because Gerrard!
And he might slip.
That's harsh. he just, all his goals were just so exciting to watch. His comebacks. Like the West Ham goal, 2005 FA Cup final. When I think of iconic goals, that always comes to my head.
Mm.
That is exciting. I got Yaya Toure. The way he ran with the ball was just exciting.
Good shout, yeah,
scored more goals than any other footballer in the world.
Interesting.
Didn't really, but do you think he's exciting?
Huh?
Yaya Toure, man.
That one season.
Magic, yeah, playbook, yeah. People.
There's two of all time that I think could potentially go
got
there.
Trapped. Then I've also got Ben Arthur.
He's like a must feature.
I didn't put Trapped in, by the way.
Mm.
I'm not putting him in, just heads up. A front three of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay.
He just did so many step overs before. What's he doing? But I like it.
Mm.
I've got Suarez. You never know when he's going to bite someone, boot someone. Exciting box office. And then the final player, the most exciting player for me is Thierry Henry.
Oh, I can't be him.
Actually,
he's rapid. There's one striker I've got.
He was
beautiful to watch, man.
He was, in terms of like an exciting player. Yeah. But
there you go. Yeah. Well, there you go.
My team's very different to yours, but I really still like your
team.
You like
my team, though?
I do like it. Mine's very, very different, though. So, starting goal, it's quite recent. Ward from Leicester. Remember last season?
He was awful, yeah.
My God, it was hilarious, you know. It was fucking class. I went three in the back, three centre-backs. Now, this one might sound biased again, but trust me, it's not. Shaw. This guy,
bangers.
He's not just that. He just randomly gets
the
a ball.
Most exciting centre back.
If you're
you
no,
in Premier League,
I got three. I got three.
Premier League history. Fabian Schär
in this team. He gets the ball. He just runs up and he'll just randomly score. Fucking screamer. You see against PSG, mental. Nah, he's good, man. Maguire, go next to him.
Don't mind.
Fair enough.
And then Titus Bramble.
Oh, good shout!
My God, this guy.
No, David Luiz.
No, that's what I mean. Like, it's a class shout. Yeah. I was going more for like shit. Like Shah going up and scoring screamers and then leaving two centre backs who were just going to not be able to handle anything. And then went Bergkamp in centre because he.
Centre mid?
Well, I'm playing him centre in this team. He has to.
What?
He has to go there. Him and Bruno G are partnering together because Bruno G is going to start
punching. Wait, what? You can't put Bergkamp centre mid?
He got him, man. That's where he's got to go. He can play in the centre. We'll play him a bit further up.
You said Guimaraes is in the exciting all-time 11.
Mate, after that Arsenal game, he's fucking elbowing people. Like, for that reason, I did have Trapp.
In your all-time most exciting 11, you've got two current Two current Newcastle players. Are you mental?
Yeah, no, but
you know, this is why people look at you in like disgrace.
No one can tell me they weren't entertained by Bruno G absolutely clarting all of Arsenal's players.
One game.
It was the best part of the... PSG went and gave someone a Ryan Cook.
Mm. Fabian Schär.
He's on Twitter screaming at the fans. It's funny, man.
I don't mind Bruno G, but yeah. Fabian Schär.
Nah. Honestly, if you watch like... You can watch a 50-minute skills and highlights of Schär, man. He's screaming. He has. It's like Giroud watching his goals and assists.
Giroud, mate.
I've got Ben Arthur and Hazard on the wings for me, and we're playing three up front. I don't know where I want to play.
You might be playing front three. I've just made up.
I'll play Rubinho out on the right. I like Rubinho.
Interesting.
I wouldn't say that out loud.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well, Giggs was in the team earlier.
Thanks. Next up,
Suarez. And then Ronaldo. I was going to say Ronaldinho.
Neither of you went for him.
Who?
Diego Costa. He's got to be an exciting 11.
That's a great shout. Yeah. Actually, I forgot about Diego Costa.
I've drafted a couple of honourable mentions. So I listened to your worst names. So I think Craig Bellamy. Mate, he was a shit house. And he was always winding up everyone.
Like Crouch.
Crouch was an exciting player because he was just
different.
Freaking nature.
Funny,
I've got a very rogue one that I think is amazing, right? Read into this. Kepa. But for the reason why, that he always lets him won the goals. So you know any single time you put him in goal, it's always going to be entertaining.
We could go Karius as well.
That's who I've got. Karius. Yeah. Yeah. Karius was carnage. I had Mustafi as well. I thought he was a funny player to watch.
Mm.
It's who's inflicting pain on fan bases. Richard Dunn, I put in a lot of own goals, a lot of red cards.
Paul Konchesky.
Rudiger, because what was
Rudiger was nuts.
Yeah.
Did that weird run, he'd boot off with people the whole time.
Yeah.
You know what? Another one, Fellaini. Just for the fact that like no one ever knew his positions at sometimes. Like,
you're just there.
Managers will put him up front, you know, out of nowhere. He'll score your goal in the 90th minute or whatnot. It's just like quite reliable, but you just never knew why.
Well, let us know your most exciting 11 in the comments down below. Before we move on to the quiz, I'm going to touch on team of the week. See if you agree with it or not. In goal, Neto.
Pope.
I genuinely was going to say Pope but then I also conceded two.
I think the near post one was, he could have done better. So he had a great game until that near post.
Neto made five saves. A back three of Tsimikas, Van Dijk and Zinchenko.
I got Tsimikas. I got Maguire, Saliba and Reece James.
Interesting. I've got Zinchenko, Van Dijk, Lindelof and Reece James.
Interesting. I've got a midfield midfield four of John McGinn.
Yep.
Eze. Mm-hmm. James Ward-Prowse. And purely for how good his goal was, and he came on, got a goal and assist to win the game, Sarabia.
I got Gallagher, Sarabia and Eze.
Yeah, I like Gallagher shout.
I've got McGinn, Doucouré and Sarabia.
A front three for me. Salah, Solanke and Palmer.
Salah, Solanke, Sterling.
Same.
Sterling over Palmer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, fair enough.
Thought this man a match.
That's not bad. That's our team of the week. Let us know in the comments. Guys, thanks so much for joining, as always.
No worries.
First timer, John.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Debut.
I felt a little bit...
It was Chelsea fan
very
TV.
Very Chelsea, yeah. I felt a bit like, ugh.
Yeah, we're back.
Newcastle sneaking three players into the all-time Premier League top five.
You've put two current Newcastle players in your all-time exciting 11.
One of the most exciting teams in the world.
You're crazy.
Thank you.
On that note, make sure you rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Drop us a like, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.